Margaret Gray, and you're listening to, I believe this is,
Two Chainz, yeah.
Yeah, we knew that the general liked this.
Yeah, general, put it up there for you.
Yeah, listen, I'm not much for this hip-hop, but this kid here, I think this kid's got something to say, you know?
Name Two Chainz.
Yeah, Two Chainz. What has he got to say that the rest of them don't? I just like this guy. He's just right there with the hey, Two Chainz. At least I know what his name is. Forget it.
I heard him say something about a comb over.
Maybe that was for you.
Yeah, I got a comb over, all right.
Did you ever have a comb over? I think that's, can we turn that car? I mean, I love this music. I'm very urban. I'm not urban myself, but I am sympathetic, thank God.
Well, what is it with you? You know, Margaret, you, everybody,
You need to slow down, General. Would you like to take some sort of nerve tonic?
I don't need any. Oh, man.
All right. What's the question?
Oh, I want to know what it is with her. Always talking about, hey, you know, I'm very urban.
I'm very sympathetic. Sympathetic to the musics. And notice I pluralized that.
No, it's music, though.
No, it's musics, Robert. When we speak of music from, let's say, world music, as opposed to, let's say, American, Eastern Appalachian folk origination music, well, then we say it's musics.
What about, like, Canadian music?
What about Canadian? I don't know.
What would that be?
There's a lot of Canadian music.
Yeah? Like what?
There's Canadian music from Canadian artists. What do you mean, what about Canadian music?
But would it be musics?
I don't know. You know something, bud? Every time I get on a roll, all I can think of when you open your mouth is committing homicide.
Jesus.
Take it easy, Margaret.
No, it's all I can do not to want to.
Not to want to jump me and, you know, and.
Hey, watch it. Kick your ass.
All right.
As I was saying, it's musics with an S, and that means.
What?
I don't know.
All right, so that was very erudite and bookish.
I did know until these over here, all of you open your mouths.
We are your co-panelists, so, you know, naturally we're going to open our mouths.
I heard that, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Three guesses.
Wait a minute.
Welcome to the show, the Phil Henry Show. Today we're going to talk with Vernon Dozier about Merle Haggard. Vernon's going to be with us to talk about something other than sports and about something other than, you know, teaching school. He's going to talk about the late, great Merle Haggard. And I was talking during the pre-show. Because you guys wanted me to
Yeah, just go into it. Don't say you guys wanted to.
But Phil, why do you have to say, well, you guys encouraged me?
Because if I start talking about it, then you guys will go, oh, are we going to hear another speech?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
You're very insecure, aren't you, Phil? When it comes to you guys, yeah. Because every time I go ahead and I start saying something, you guys said to me, oh, you want to tell that story on the air. And as soon as I do, you go, what, is this going to be a speech? So,
Phil, you want to see Phil, folks. He's moving his arms up and down as if he's lowering baggage into the cargo hold of a ship or something. What is...
All right, so, anyway, this before the show started, I was talking about Merle Haggard. And the crew here said, well, tell that one when we hit the air, Phil. And I said, okay. And
all right, we've got that already. Now go ahead and tell them, but I even forget what the story was. It couldn't have been that good.
Yes, what was it?
Well, then I'll tell it again. When I was in high school...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When I was in high school, Merle Haggard's music was not considered... Because my, you know, my generation... Everything was informed by, you know, the attitude, for instance, that you saw in Easy Rider, that anybody that was into country music was some dumb redneck, and they were anti-hippie, and they were going to kick your ass, and they were going to cut your hair, they're going to shave your head, they're going to, you know, take your girlfriend off into the weeds, you know, so...
My God.
Yeah, well, so... Country music was not considered to be anything even close to anything you wanted to listen to. And Merle Haggard came out with a song called Okie from Muskogee.
Well, what's that about? That's about they're going to kick a hippie's ass and everything, isn't it?
Well,
Okie from Muskogee, I know. That was more about we don't smoke the, you know...
Yeah, we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee and stuff like that. And
it wasn't about kicking a hippie's ass per se.
No, not really. But then he came out with that song, Fight Inside of Me. And
what did that one say?
Well, that was a song about, you know, he wanted to go out and kick ass on hippies and stuff. But let me just finish here. So, now I forgot where I was.
Phil, you have to keep track.
You guys. So Merle Haggard did that song.
Bud's going to get the song ready. And that way you'll, you know, you don't be fumbling around like a jackball.
fumbling around like a jet. I know what it is I'm trying to say if you guys had just clammed the hell up for 5 seconds. You mind?
No.
So,
Got the Okie from a Muskogee ready. Sorry.
So, yeah, when I was a kid, in high school, so that song came out, Okie from Muskogee, and everybody thought it was just a lame country song about a bunch of rednecks that wanted to kick ass on hippies, and nobody, you know, really had much respect for that kind of music. I didn't know anybody that did. Then he came out with Fight Inside of Me, which was the one somebody was referencing.
Well, that was the song about, as the general said, that Merle Haggard then took it up a notch. In other words, he doubled down. You know?
Yeah, double down, Assembly.
Yeah, right there. That's the word they're using now. Everybody doubles down on things. Right. Well, you could say he doubled down on being a redneck. So he did Okie from Muskogee, which is the song that we were referencing, and that was about... here it is. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a re-recording, I would say.
Yeah, he's about being an Okie.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
Oh, I remember this. This was charming. You've got to be kidding, Phil. You guys presented this?
We did what?
You guys presented this?
We don't.
Well, we were high school students, so it all sounded to us like just a bunch of rednecks that didn't like hippies. And then came Fight Inside of Me, which is this one here. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, this one. You talk down my country, I'll kick your ass.
No, he doesn't say that.
Yeah, he does. Pretty much.
Wait a minute.
People talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love this song. I remember this one. You run down the flag of my country, friend. You'll be walking south and looking like you're heading north. I'll twist your head so far around your ass will be heading south. But, you know.
Yeah, well, and your penis is going north.
And your penis, well, you lousy.
Hey. Come on.
Turn it down, will you? So that was Merle Haggard, and God bless you, Merle. As I said, and you guys making jokes out of this, Merle Haggard, as I got older, suddenly I realized, well, not suddenly, but you mature, and you go, well, you know, Merle Haggard is, because I have such a love of American folk music, and, you know, any original sort of artistic music, I don't know what...
Phil, take it easy, my God.
Yeah, Phil's all gone. What I'm trying to say is any original music is sort of folk, acoustic folk music or whatever. It's not even, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I like Merle Haggard's music because it's authentic. That's it.
Yeah, you sound like an authentic American kind of music.
Well, now that I can go with. And yeah, so I definitely dug, Merle Haggard's music. Here's a song that I like that I play a lot. And
this is some real hillbilly stuff here. I haven't heard this.
What is this?
It's called Big City.
Now, Merle Haggard, was he in prison when he wrote this?
No.
What's so funny? They're going to prison, man.
I'm tired of this dirty old city.
This has got what is called a kind of a Texas swing beat.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? It has do-do-do-do-do. It does swing. See, you just...
Yeah, Miss Gray.
Well, I'll have you know that I can't... If you're going to do swing music, you swing... See, I'm swinging my hips.
Yes, we're just saying. Try not to knock anything off of...
Oh, grow up.
You're going to knock the whole table over, for Christ's sake.
Whee!
Okay.
Oh, stop.
Margaret, you just knocked over a whole...
Somewhere in...
Look out!
Montana.
Whee! You knock it off.
Now give me all...
Oh, all right, okay. What a bunch of...
You just knocked over...
Oh, General, you got in my way.
Yeah, Miss Gray, when you were swinging your hips back and forth.
I love that. I'm tired of this filthy old doo-doo.
Yeah, right when you did that, you hit the General.
And I collided right into that wall. Knocked all of those cans and all that. What are those cans over there, Phil? Those aren't cans. Those are books.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Need glasses?
Need glasses? When I'm around you, I need a flak jacket.
Tell you what.
You know something, all of you guys here, you and you, all of you, can head into the elevator that's marked, Sheraton Napalm.
Sheraton Napalm?
Okay, you leaving?
No, I'm not leaving. I'm going over here right now to use the bathroom. Is there toilet paper?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, is there enough?
No, ma'am.
All right, it's your funeral.
Jesus.
Oh, boy,
Are you all right?
I'm fine, but she's like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Oh, grow up.
So anyway, on the show today, we're going to be talking with Vernon Doja. He'll be talking about Merle Haggard. We also have, there's a video from England. It purports to show the Loch Ness Monster. Did you see this, bud?
Yeah, I don't know what it's supposed to be or anything.
Well, it looked like the Loch Ness Monster to me.
What do you mean it looked like the Loch Ness Monster to you?
That's what I'm trying to say.
What? What are you guys, all right, so we're going to talk with, I don't know who we're going to talk with about that. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We also have a man jailed for allegedly making a parody account. This is a guy in Wichita Falls. Where's Wichita Falls?
Well, let's say there's Wichita Falls, Texas. There's Wichita Falls, Kansas. And then there's Wichita Falls,
Wichita Falls, Wichita.
Yeah, Wichita.
Oh, in the state of Wichita.
I mean, Missouri.
You don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, we'll find out about that. This dude made a parody account, and he said that he didn't make a parody account at all. He doesn't know what all the fuss is. Anyway, they threw him in jail, and, that's another one of those situations where people think, well, you make a parody account, why can't you just do that and get away with it? But no, you can't. We also have Bobby Dooley on. She's going to be talking about Keisha and Dr. Luke, and
I went in on this. This is an interesting case where Keisha was accusing Dr. Luke of slavery, of white slaving, all kinds of violence, and the judge threw it out. And Bobby Dooley will be with us, right?
Yeah, I got Miss Dooley. Come on.
Yeah, she has, I would say, a rather, I don't even want to call it an interesting take. I think it's a disturbing take.
Phil Rivers on traffic.
Let's go to Bob Bacon, Bob.
I fell right here now, Ralph. Oh, they got Ralph Shops. You've got your chowderhead. And I'll tell you something right now. If you're at the Flipping Free Will of Slime, make sure you got the slime up as an observation. And since there is an observation deck up there, they're going to try it out. Go up then. And also Skyboy and Pop Seven. So I have that. Let's go up, Skyboy.
Hey, Bob. I got a part of the spring. And then we got a little swing thing. And that's a dollar. Hope to fix the swing thing. That's part of it. Excuse me. Just a minute.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with the thing
with them. I'm right?
I'm good. Let's go. It's good, baby.
Yeah, feels good. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet man. Kleenex.
Together we are a powerful force.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Thanks a lot, guys, and world famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Bobby Dooley coming up here on this Keisha situation. I suppose because Bobby has.
Well, she's got the kids that have got to get off to school. I know that she's actually at her son's Western Estates High School right now. Bobby, this is a very interesting case. It is one that I think every single woman needs to be aware of, and that is this Keisha and Dr. Luke, and how young women are used.
Well, I think, Margaret, you're making a good point. I am just dropping the boys off right now.
Hi, Mom.
Hi. Do you have soccer practice? Do you have your soccer practice? Do you have your soccer briefs?
Yeah, I do, Mom.
Because they're always forgetting the soccer briefs, you know.
What are soccer briefs?
Those are the shorts, right?
They're the short shorts. You know, the little short shorts that they wear.
The shorts, you mean their uniform?
Well, yes, but short shorts. Steve, do you want to drive? Because I'm going to be on the radio here talking to Phil.
Yeah, okay. Can I talk to him?
You can talk a little bit. Watch it, Steve.
Hey, get out of the way.
All right, let's get people up to speed. Keisha's a young singer. Dr. Luke is a man who is a producer. She accused him of some very, very serious crimes, including sexual assault. This was thrown out by the judge in court yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, the judge threw the case out for two reasons. The judge said that there was no real material facts related to what she was charging, and that the court had no jurisdiction in any event because much of what she was saying took place in her testimony or in her whatever the filing, you know, Phil.
When she originally filed.
Right, when she originally filed.
Well, Phil's not an attorney.
Well, I think we know what you mean, though.
Well, Phil's not an attorney, but do you have a lawyer there?
No, we do not. We don't. We're going to have Harvey Wireman on later. He's going to be talking about this Facebook thing.
What? I don't understand that.
I'm Harvey Wireman.
Oh, well.
We understand what you're saying.
All right, but I need to know the term in her original filing. Is that it?
Yes, that's fine. Original filing.
All right, so the judge said that the court had no jurisdiction and that she did not have enough facts. So there it is. And I don't know whether the case is going to move forward on some different grounds. But when you look at Keisha and you look at the opportunities that she's had, and yes, even through this man, Dr. Luke, who may or may not have put her through these, and you look at my life, I just dropped off my sons to go to soccer and to go to school.
Yeah, sons are out there.
Right. And I think, well, okay, I love my sons, I love my husband. I say that because I'm sort of expected to say that, but I do love them.
What do you mean you're expected to say that? Well, hold on, she's making her point.
Thank you, Margaret. The point I'm trying to make, General, is that there are worse things in this world than being at the beck and call of a alpha male who is a little rough around the edges, especially if that man is ensuring that you have anywhere from a very healthy 7 to a healthy 8-figure annual salary. Okay, so...
Well, now, hold on. We need to talk about this.
I'm not done yet.
Let her finish, Phil.
I'm not excusing the behavior of Dr. Luke. I'm simply saying that Keisha should have my life.
Well, there's a point right there.
She should only have my life. Dropping off 3 boys to go to soccer school.
Talk about soccer school. You mean you're going to school?
What?
What do you mean soccer school?
I mean we're going to high school, and there's soccer there.
All right, so, some people are going to really be misunderstanding this, Bobby.
Well, if I could finish.
Yeah, my wife's not done yet. She's got a really good point she's going to make.
Because I think I'm going to make a point that you're going to agree with. So here we have a woman who she would have had my life or worse. And I'm not complaining about my life, by the way, because I live in a beautiful 7,000-square-foot home.
Hey, watch out, Jack.
Get that man's license plate.
I will.
What? There's a budget.
Shut up.
My husband's being hassled by street kids.
All right, kid, do you need to pull over?
Pull it over, Steve, will you?
All right. Yeah.
My life is wonderful, but Keisha would think of my life as being similar to living in a cave or living in a sewer, literally living with a chest of drawers, a bed, and maybe some pots and pans in a sewer. So I would say to her, girlfriend, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. But the ones that have hatched, I would say, are pretty healthy chickens.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right. Now, may I say something?
Hold on, Phil.
Phil, she's going to make a great point here. You're going to agree with it.
Because so far, you're saying, hey, even though she may have been sexually abused and enslaved by this guy, it beats what you've got.
Well, I'm not saying me, necessarily. I'm speaking for everyone. My life is very good. My life is much better than most women. I've got a 7,000-square-foot home. My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business. And we live very, very comfortably. Very comfortably. Okay?
All right, so what then, when you're comparing Keisha's life to who?
Well, let's say Keisha's life, I would compare it... I don't want to say anything, Margaret, to you. You have a nice life. Frank is very wealthy. I understand that. But he's old.
You better not go there.
Really?
Yes, you better not go there.
Well...
All right, can we keep this friendly, please?
All right, let's just say...
I got to throw my wife for a loop because she was going to use your life.
No, you don't use my life in comparison to this one and say, I would rather have Margaret Gray's... Or I'd rather have Keisha's life.
No, I said I'd rather have Margaret Gray's life.
No, you did not. You were going to compare me disfavorably to this woman.
Well, I didn't, and I've changed my mind. I'd rather have your life than hers.
Oh, you are...
What?
Nothing.
So...
Yeah, all right. The point here...
Phil, hold on. I'm not done.
Yeah, you're really going to like where she's going.
No, so far, I don't like where she's going, and I'm going to have to interrupt it right here.
Well, what about...
Hold on. This woman is saying she was sexually abused, if not enslaved, sexually enslaved by this man. She's saying that this went on for years. She's saying that this a series of assaults, something that's nothing new, that we've heard this for years from other women, especially in the recording business or in the entertainment business. And you're saying that you, Bobby, would opt for her life over yours.
No, I did not. I said most women might. Might.
Yeah, didn't say she would. Might. My wife is so happy.
I'm happy as far as it goes. I live in a 7,000 square foot.
Yeah, we understand that.
Bobby, we know you live in a 7,000 square foot home. Would you trade your life for hers?
Would I trade my life for hers? No, I would not. I think if things got a little less. We're in a 7,000 square foot home. Yes, I know you heard that. But if it got any smaller.
But it's going to get smaller. The house shrinking?
The house is shrinking.
No, the house isn't. You know, Mr. Henry, I wish that you would corral your staff a little better.
All right, guys, watch it.
The house isn't shrinking, no.
What are you saying?
What is this all of a sudden? See, this is what I'm saying, Mr. Henry. This is what Keisha had to put up with.
No, she did not. We're asking questions, Ms. Dooley, and we're trying to get answers.
You almost called me Ms. Gray.
Yeah, you almost did, Phil. I heard you say Ms. Gur Dooley.
You did. You went Ms. Gur Dooley.
No, I did not, but okay, we'll accept that.
Well, no, I won't accept you saying okay unless you really believe it.
Okay, I really believe it.
No, you don't. I can tell that you don't. You know.
Well, you guys, you know, this is ridiculous. You're making a point about this Keisha, that her life would be preferable to the crap can lives of most American women, even though she was a sex slave. Yes or no? Do you or do you not say that?
I won't be speaking to you like that.
Come on, General, you talk my wife.
Why don't you butt out, Dooley, all right, before I find where you are, pull you out of that car, get in it myself, and lead the police on a wild chase over hundreds of miles with your wife cowering in the trunk. God!
Oh, my God.
General!
No, I've had it.
Come on, General.
Sit down, will you? This woman's flipping me out.
You are threatening to take me hostage. Is that what you're threatening to do?
I'm
No, he was not.
So, anyway, what I'm saying...
Yeah, I've got to apologize to my wife.
Yeah, okay, Dooley, I'm sorry.
No, that didn't sound too good.
That's as good as it's gonna get.
Will you guys knock it off and let's just... So, go ahead, Bobby. Your essential point is what?
My essential point is that while Keisha was perhaps abused by this man, or maybe she was, maybe everything she said is true, her life is preferable for most American women to the combination of smells and sights and sensations that they have to wake up to in the morning, and even worse, what they've got to go to bed to at night. Now, there, I said it.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. And
absolutely true.
Well, I think a lot of it is, yes.
Yeah, most American women have to go to bed to things, have to go to bed with things and to things and around things far worse than what Keisha had to put up with.
I couldn't disagree more vehemently. I don't know about most marriages. I don't know about most women or men. But I cannot believe that most American women go to bed at night and get up in the morning to a situation that is worse than what this young woman alleges, which is slavery, which is sexual abuse, which is being terrorized. I mean, she was her human rights violations. I mean, that's what she accused this man of.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Read it and weep.
And what about you, Ms. Dooley? Do you live in that life?
I think I just said no, almost, but no.
Almost, but no, Mr. Henry.
She's accusing you, Mr. Dooley, of...
No. Don't
talk to my husband like that.
She's accusing you, Mr. Dooley.
La, 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 la. La, la.
Give me the phone, Steve, so you won't have to hear it.
God, I can't get the headphones out.
She's accusing your husband, Mr. Dooley.
La, 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 la.
He's not... Never mind, Steve. Look, I'm not accusing my husband of anything.
Well, the situation, the status quo that you are describing...
Phil, you just went... You know, you're not going to get anyone to believe your point or make a good point when you're gagging and choking on your own spittle. God!
Now, Phil, let's cut it.
You did, Mr. Ernie. You went... La, 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 la.
You know something? I think really, truly, Bobby, all the years that I've known you, I think you need a psychiatrist. I really do. I think you need medication. I think your husband does, too.
All right, what are you trying to say?
What is... You know, that is actionable. Do you know that?
No, it's not actionable. It's my opinion. I think you need a psychiatrist. You know, I think you need a doctor. I think you need medicating. I think that because any woman that would say the things you're saying needs medication.
All right, and what about me, a woman that would agree with her?
I think that you need to get yourself checked out, too.
I need to get my... Look at the way you leered at me when you said checked out.
Yeah, so you know, yeah.
What are you talking about?
You should have seen it, Bobby.
Well, I can well imagine. So he was leering at you.
Yeah, he said, you need to get checked out, too. And he goes, ugh.
Well, Phil, I didn't see it. Your back was to me. I hope and pray to God and all of the angels that she's not telling the truth.
I don't know. I didn't see it either, but I hope and pray.
Yeah, you hope and pray. I didn't do anything of the sort, and that's actionable.
What is?
The fact that you said that I did something.
See, you don't even understand the law, Mr. Henry. What's actionable is...
Get out of here.
Hey, wait a minute.
Phil.
No, Margaret. And then you back her up? I'm telling you.
Well, when you said you need to get checked out and you went, hey...
I did not. Probably what you saw in my face was a look of, you know, intellectual superiority in that moment because I thought I had you.
Intellectual? Get a load of this guy, will you? Intellectual superiority. You really think you've got the brains? You think that you have the mind to compete with mine? No. No, I'm afraid not, Phil. You know as well as I do that my mind, my immutable mind...
Yeah, no, I agree with Phil. I think you are crackers.
You'll never understand. None of you. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Excuse me.
Toilet?
None of your business.
Just go.
Yeah.
World famous Phil Henry show. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. But it is funny. Oh, yeah. Listen, friends, you know that we had so much fun with this viral game last month that we've decided to keep it going. So what we want you to do is head over to Twitter, to Facebook, or Instagram and hashtag World of Phil with your favorite quote from today's show, and you could win a swag bag full of great crap. That's right. Great crap from the Phil Henry Show. And just in case you didn't hear yesterday's show, here are the winners from last month. Grounded 77, Matt Tweet Matt. What? These are just the winners, right? Okay, these are the winners.
What did they say? What were their lines?
I don't know. I mean, everybody has great lines, and we do retweet some of them, but the important thing is these are the people whose names were selected. Grounded 77, Matt Tweet Met, QMB810, Zoth242, and Nathan A. Smith.
What are that supposed to mean? Tell a guy the handle.
Now what is that? Is that the Twitter handle?
Yes, I want in on this. Yes, those are Twitter handles. And no one...
Margaret, hold on for a minute, will you? Yes, they're the Twitter handles.
No one knows. Who is Zoth242?
The reason why the guy is Zoth242 is he doesn't want anybody to know who he is.
God. Now, are you giving these away to BSPs?
No, this is a prize that we're giving away to just anybody that hashtags. You have to hashtag World of Phil and then a great line from the show. I guess we'll have to, you know, come in here armed with some lines. Bud, why don't you...
Yeah, man, I told you, Bud, to write some down. I did write them down, and people, then they don't even show them no more.
You did write them down, and then the people, then they don't show them no more.
Yeah, I put them, and then I retweeted them.
Well, when you retweet them, man, I need them here. I don't need them on the account. So that means we got to pull up the... We have to pull up the internet and get the Twitter account going. And Jack, we ain't got time, man. We're burning daylight with this here show. So do it. Do it today. Do it fast. But do it, man. That's hashtag the World of Phil. Or not the. It's just World of Phil. That's the mistake I made. It's World of Phil. With your favorite quote from today's show, you could win a swag bag full of great crap. Just in case you didn't hear yesterday's show, here are the winners from last month. And I just gave them to you, and I won't say them again because Margaret doesn't think it's worth it.
But when the guy's name is Zoth242, maybe in some futuristic society, when everyone's named Zoth242, it'll make sense. But now it doesn't mean a hill of beans to a thinking man like myself or anybody with one foot in reality.
All right, well, let's just pretend like we live in a weird society where everybody's name is Zoth242. That's one of the winners.
Oh, my God, Phil.
Jesus, Henry. You're really a loser, aren't you?
No, I'm just... Sorry.
Sir, you need a vacation. You really do need a vacation.
I do need a vacation. You're right.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Todd Alice, you got to take a vacation next month anyway.
Oh, we are taking a vacation next month. That's right.
Where are you going?
I don't know. We may not go anywhere. It's like I told you. I think I already told you guys this, that we may not go anywhere.
Well, you have to go to Summer Philly. This is your vacation. Aren't you going to go back to Big Sur?
No, we're not. We may not go to Big Sur. You know, here's the thing. Vacations are just to get away from work. And I happen to be blessed that I live near the beach. And our beach is beautiful. Our beach is so gorgeous. We have this huge, wide, sandy, beautiful beach here at the El Pacifico. It is a beach that, thank God, is little known to the turistas. And we got these cool little beach shacks to go and eat hamburgers at. We got a great little beach bar, Quincy Street. And we got the Beachcomber.
Hell no, the Beachcomber, they reopen?
Yeah, the Beachcomber is still a wine and beer, though.
It's a wine and beer joint. But they completely renovated it, man. They remodeled it. It's awesome inside. And it's more like a neighborhood place now. It's not some joint, you know, where people are coming in from all over the place. This is a place where everybody that I've seen in there is are people who live around here. So, and then we have...
well, you also, you have within driving... what am I doing? I'm talking you into this. You need to go out of town. You need to go to some place like Big Sur or to... what about Mexico?
No, I'm not going to Mexico either. We're going to stay here and we're going to enjoy our beach. And that's all there is to that. So that's next month.
Yeah, next month I'm going to take time off.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to that one, man. All right, we have this story here that I guess we were going to talk about. Is Harvey on the line at all? We did get an attorney's opinion, but we thought we might just go with Harvey's opinion on this.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit before we do that to the Merle Haggard situation there.
Oh, Vernon Dozier and Merle Haggard. Yeah, we were talking about Merle Haggard as the show started, and Vernon Dozier is going to join us. He's a country music fan. But like I was telling you, Merle Haggard, and I'm not going to beat this into the ground, but Merle Haggard, when I was growing up as a teenager, his music was considered to be establishment, hillbilly, rednecky stuff. Redneck music was establishment music, you know, country music.
What do you mean redneck music? What's the story with that anyway?
Because the rednecks were like the enemies of hippies in those days. So you were going to get your... if somebody was going to grab you and hold you down and cut your hair, it was going to be some redneck, some dude that listened to country music. So that's why that scene, and you were asking me about that scene in Easy Rider, but that's why...
oh, they had that guy, he goes, that's a gorilla love-in.
That was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's real funny until they're kicking the crap out of somebody. But in any event, that's why Merle Haggard's music did not resonate for very many people of my generation. Vernon Dozier with us on the line here from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Vernon, how are you?
I'm fair, Phil. Thank you.
And Vernon, I know you are a big, big Merle Haggard fan. You and I talked about his music down through the years. He's a Californian.
Well, that's a good point, Vernon. Vernon, that's a good point, Phil. Vernon is my name, and I apologize for that profusely.
Well, that's all right. It's something people do that a lot on the radio.
Well, I know, because you start to anticipate that they're going to call your name Vernon. But when when Merle Haggard was performing, and I come from San Antonio, Texas, Phil, but, Texas, Oklahoma, that corridor, which we call the old Texoma corridor there, that is a corridor of great music. We like to thank a great Americana. For Merle Dozier, and I say Merle Dozier.
Why don't we just start all over again?
No, I'm all right.
For Merle Haggard?
Yeah, Merle Haggard. and Vernon Dozier is me.
Yes, you're Vernon Dozier, and you're a great American, but Merle Haggard is too.
Yes, and by the way, let me say before we... I'm very sorry in the deepest part of me to know of Mr. Haggard's passing.
And we all were, and...
Well, you just said, though, that when you were in high school, you thought he was some kind of a redneck, right?
When I was in high school, when I was younger, yeah, we thought a lot of that country music was.
So how could you be...
Well, that's not fair, Vernon.
All right, you're right.
That's not... Phil's much older now. He's a different man now. I dare say that if Merle Haggard were to have passed on back when Phil was in high school, Phil, you would have been remorseful and sad, wouldn't you?
I probably would have made note of it, and I probably would have made note of all the people that were unhappy with it.
Well, what are you trying to say, anyway?
Yeah, what does that mean?
You know what it means. What I'm saying is, you guys, it's not fair to ask me about Merle Haggard dying when I was in high school. When I was in high school, Merle Haggard was the voice of, like I said, this sort of redneck generation. And I don't, I'm telling you right now, it's not fair. I'm not going to answer that question. Today, hearing of Merle Haggard's passing, it's a sad thing. It's sad for music, especially people like myself who love authentic American musicians and artists like Merle Haggard. That's why I've all these memories are coming up about him.
Well, all right. I mean, I never in my life ever thought anything other than just I love Merle Haggard. And, you know, one thing about Merle Haggard I think that some people should understand is that he had that attitude, as you mentioned, Phil. And he defended America, you know, and when he talked about the fight inside of me, boy, I tell you, that song came out. And when that song came out, I was still playing football. I was playing professionally up in Canada. And I had felt very abused by the pros in America. I was not drafted by the NFL. I couldn't get a look in an NFL camp. And every year, I would feel more and more, you know, just remembering it now, you know, gives me a little bit of tension, you know. And one year when that song came out, getting on a fighting side of me, and I remember thinking,
"Can we?"
Hold on.
I just wanted to find out what year.
Just hold on for a minute. I was playing pro ball in Canada. Because I'm sorry, Phil, but just keep this in mind. When that song "Fight Inside of Me" come out. And Merle Haggard said, you know, you're getting on the fight. And I found out from my agent, I said, am I getting a look or not? He said, no. I said, man. And I said, the NFL's getting on the fighting side of me. And, you know, Vince Lombardi was still alive. And God bless Vince Lombardi for everything that he meant. But I wanted to kick his ass. So, oh, boy, I'm just remembering it now.
You know, we've had a lot of people. You need to calm down.
There's a guy that did the article about us, Eddie Rivera, you know, in the Pasadena Out paper.
I don't remember, but go ahead. But,
yeah, well, I told you about it. Anyway, he said that there are so much anger and tension on this show that it's palpable.
Well, I don't speak for... What do I care? Who? Eddie Rivera. I know Eddie. He used to be a sports writer, didn't he? Yeah, I know who Eddie is. Yeah, he wrote me up a couple of times saying that Vernon Dozier was a... I remember that.
Well, I don't... What? In regard to what?
In regard to me being a football coach. So I know all about Eddie, and I got to tell you, Phil, just when I was being abused by the National Football League and Merle came out with Fight Inside of Me, I wanted to kick someone's ass, I'll tell you that.
All right. So, look, Coach, those are many years ago. Why don't you chill it out, as the kids say, calm it down, pull it back in, zip it back up, sit down, fold your hands in front of you as if nothing happened, and maybe no one will notice that you had it out and you were waving it around in the faces of the... Never mind.
What are you talking about, man?
You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
I don't know what you're talking about either, Vernon. So let's just call that one a draw, and let me just take charge of this conversation here for a moment. So Merle Haggard passing on at the age of 79 with the song Fight Inside of Me meant to you, he was emblematic, if you will, of a sort of a dissatisfaction and anger with the way people treated you and treated the country. Would you say that?
Well, I don't know what you just said, but...
You said, but would you say that Merle Haggard...
Oh, hold on, wait, I know,
oh, my God, you're going nam, 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 nam.
I know that.
Yeah, what, go take a drink of water?
I think you need a drink of water, whoever said that.
Bud Dickman.
What?
Bud Dickman.
Digman?
Bud Dickman said that. Forget who said it. Do you need some water?
I need a hell of a lot more than water, my friend. What I need looks like water, but my man, it ain't. Give me a glass of water, will you, please? That helps.
All right, so we're talking with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, a Merle Haggard fan. I understand you did a little singing yourself, Vernon, in your early days?
I did some singing, yeah. When I got out of football, I sang a lot of the Hank Williams. Hank Williams, Jimmy Rogers, that kind of stuff.
Can you, got any song in mind?
Well, I mean, song that I remember very, very closely was the great "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry," because that song is every time I got turned down by the NFL, I was, did you ever hear the lonesome sound?
My God, that is lovely, Vernon.
Well, thank you.
That's very good. "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry," I know that song.
Yeah. And it goes, he seems to have lost the will to live. And I'm so lonesome I could cry. Did you hear?
Just shut up!
Hold on for a minute, will you? Hey, Betty! Betty!
Shut up!
I'll come over there and kick your ass, and it'll stay kicked. It'll stay kicked from here until eternity. How's that feel? I'll be over in about five. Oh, man, I want to hurt somebody.
All right, Vernon, look, I didn't want to get you in trouble. Was that one of your neighbors?
No, that's a guy that teaches chemistry. He's in the next room. This is my time. My time, okay? I can't believe.
Is he talking that way around high school students?
Well, the kids are out right now. Most of the kids, except for the kids that are helping you out in the lab there. The what? I can't understand. You're going to insult me. Insult me like a man. Come in here and say it to my face.
Your singing stinks.
Why, you love.
Hey, Vernon. Vernon.
Hold that?
Yeah.
Put it on hold.
This is interesting. You kidding me?
Put it on hold, bud.
Hey, look.
Yay! I just kicked his ass right out the window. Hear that horn honk? That was him.
All right, I don't know what to say other than to say thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, okay, so now you're bailing out on me. Now I'm going to have, oh, that's just great. Now I got cops on the way, and you are bailing out on me. See, that's what I didn't want to do this interview.
All right, we'll stick around with you, okay? But we do have to take a break.
Oh, yeah, you got to take a break.
We'll stick around. Stay on the phone with us.
I'm getting the phone to you, Mr. Dozier.
I'm just saying that when I was singing after I got out of football, did you ever hear? Are you telling me that stinks?
No, it sounds great.
Then why did this guy? Hey, Charlie, oh, get up. You're okay. I think I sing very, very well, and although it's not a Merle Haggard kind of a twang, although I love that song he did. I'm tired of this dirty old city and tired of too much sweat. And not enough pay.
Oh, that is fantastic. You know, Vernon, we would love to hear some of your songs if you've got any that, because, you know, I sing.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Well, I'd love to listen to some of the songs that you've done if you've got any on recording.
No, I didn't record anything. I just, but I like that one. I'm tired of this dirt. So that just says it, you know. I'm tired of this dirty old filthy city. Hold on for a minute. Yes, sir? Yes, sir.
You kick his ass?
I had to kick his ass, yeah. All right, sir, you got to come with me. Oh, what a bunch of horse shit. I got to go talk to these cops.
Vernon.
Phil, thank you very much, Margaret.
Well, I hope that if you need anyone to witness for you.
We'd be very happy to.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, everybody.
Vernon Dozier, what in the hell? How does that guy hold onto his job as a teacher?
I don't know, but whatever he's got over those people at that Belmar Academy is probably just as serious and just as nasty as whatever it is Trump's got on that Ailes, you know?
Oh, yeah, that Roger Trump.
Who's Roger Trump?
You mean Roger Ailes?
Yeah, Roger Ailes.
Yeah, what about it?
What do you mean, what about it? They say that Trump's got all kinds of...
Well, they say that Donald Trump has some kind of filth and dirt on Roger Ailes. Yesterday we had... the day before we had on, who was that anyway, Phil?
I forget. Who was our guest on the other day?
Jeff Doubter.
Oh, was it Doubter? Anyway, he said that it was farm animal. Yeah, it was you, man.
No, they put it on my Twitter feed.
On the Twitter feed. Anyway, yeah, whoever our guest was, they said that, you deciphered the clue as farm animal, is that it?
Yeah, let's tell Pep about the farm animal.
Well, I don't know. If what they said was true, that Donald Trump has photographs of a farm animal and Roger Ailes, I think that is a serious, serious charge. I don't know that everyone would agree with that.
What do you mean everyone would agree with that? Are you nuts? The guy's got photographs of him with a farm animal.
We don't know. It sounds like bullcrap. I haven't heard anybody come up with anything concrete. All this stuff that's flying around in that campaign is just amazing. All right, thank you, Vernon. And like we said, if you need some help, give us a call. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We do have Jay Santos coming up next from the Citizens Auxiliary Police for our weekly security report. This one's going to have to do with that... monster in the Thames River, right?
Well, they think the Loch Ness, now it's the Thames monster, I suppose.
Phil Hendry Show. Blackstock Business Park. Storage for all of your furniture, storage for your goods or your family. Want to put your wife away for a few months? Go to Blackstock's. Want to put the furniture away for a few months? Go to Blackstock's. If you want to put your house away for a few months, go to Blackstock's. Maybe you'd like to put yourself away for a few months? Go to Blackstock's. Blackstock Storage. Business parks across America. Accommodating families of any size, rooms of any size, and equipment of any size or nature. From the very smallest to the very biggest. From the very teeniest to the very largest. From the smallest to the biggest to the throbbing. Blackstock's Business Supplies. Blackstock's Business Park and Storage. Another Earl Blackstock Company. Blackstock's.
Hi, friends. Al Hertzenberger. Al Hertzenberger Tacos. You know, when we started our taco stand about 25 years ago, we said we want to bring people the greatest service, the greatest tacos, the greatest taste that money can buy, and we did. At Al Hertzenberger Taco Stand, you get a taco about as big as your thumb. The drink is about half the size of your thumb, but guess what? The price? Only 15 cents. So you eat about 16 of those, and you may get filled up, but hey, the price is right. At Al Hertzenberger's Taco Stand. Al Hertzenberger taco stands have the smallest tacos in memory. The smallest tacos in the history of man on this planet. You get a taco about the size of your thumb. Or if you want our great Al Hertzenberger's burrito, well, that's about the size of my finger. Or if you want to get really graphic, how big is your penis? Well, just kidding about that. Al Hertzenberger's taco stands. Tacos the size of my thumb. Al Hertzenberger's taco stands. The drink about half the size of my thumb. Al Hertzenberger's taco stands. And get the Al Hertzenberger burrito as big as my finger. Smile when you say that. Al Hertzenberger's taco stands. All over L.A.
Welcome back, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Hey. So there's a... I saw this film of this thing in the Thames River. Did you see that, bud?
Yeah, it looked like it's probably, you know, fake or something. What do you mean fake, man? I don't think it could be real.
What are you talking about, real?
Well, what was it? It was a video taken by someone in a high-rise on one side of the Thames River. It looked like it was a phone video, and what you saw clearly going through the water were what looked like the humps on a sea serpent. Here is the story from whatever news service this is, and I'm not sure. Do you know what this is, bud?
It's probably the news service of England.
The news service of England?
Yeah.
Well, what is that?
But what is the news service of England?
I mean the radio station that reported it.
Well, it says here, for all those people like me, whoever that is, who love stuff like this, a new video has emerged from England that was shot by a passenger on an Emirates airline cable car. Okay, that's what it was. The footage shows an unidentified creature appearing to swim and come up to the surface. Some people have speculated it could be a submarine, but the arch looks like a sea monster. I'll just keep thinking it was a sea monster instead. Ha ha. We showed it during our pre-show to our Backstage Pass members, and you can go find it yourself, I'm sure. Just look up Sea Monster in the Thames. Jay Santos is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and has been a longtime contributor on our program having to do with security and all things pertaining to security, even if it's a sea monster. Jay is joining us now on our newsmaker line from the South Bay in Southern California. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Have you seen this video?
I have seen what purports to be a sea creature in the Thames River, and I was asked to comment on it. I was asked to comment on it by the beef eater, which is Citizens Auxiliary Police Unit in London.
What's the name of it?
Called a beefy beef eater. And
what is the beefy beef eaters?
Yes, sir. And beefy beef eaters are a Citizens Auxiliary Police group. In London.
That's a really stupid name. It doesn't even have an official sound to it.
Well, that's what we call them. I mean, their official name is a lot more complicated.
Well, what is their official name?
All right, Phil, take it easy.
Well, look, Jay, you called them the beefy beef eaters.
Well, we call them that because they're very fit, very built guys, and are not police officers. They do a kind of citizen's peek-over-the-shoulder job like we do.
Well, what are they called?
I think they're called a beef eater regulars or the London beef eater regulars, something like that.
The London beef eater regulars.
No, beef eat.
Oh, beef eat. So it's got nothing to do with a beef eater.
I don't know, sir. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. It's called a beef eat, London beef eat regular. And I talked to Chad Brownswinger, one of our sub commanders.
What is the man's name?
Chad Brownswinger.
Chad Brownswinger, all right.
deal. I mean, that's the guy's name. Are you going to make a deal out of that?
No, we're not. Go ahead, Jay. What did he say?
Well, what he said was B-feet, he thought it had something to do with the guy's feet, like B-feet, like B, letter B, and then feet, as in the shoe size. And I said, well, B would mean he's got little tiny, teeny-weeny feet. And he said that would make sense because these guys are ripped, but they got the little teeny feet, kind of like Ray Lewis. So they would get around, they could dance very lightly through situations and go and just pound a guy's head in. I said, that makes sense.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
What are you talking about? Guys' feet are too teeny.
If you've ever seen Ray Lewis, a former linebacker of the Baltimore Ravens, he had little tiny feet, but he's a big, ripped guy. So he could dance and skip through situations and get to where he wanted to go and pound away on an individual. That's what we're saying about the beef feet.
Yeah, all right. Let's not bring them up anymore, okay? I don't even want to talk about these guys.
God, Phil. What, they got bad breath or something?
No, but they don't. The way you describe them, they don't sound like they're from Earth. How about that?
What?
Just what happened in England with regards to the sea monster?
All right, well, what we were able to determine is that it has what looked to be the humps of a sea serpent, of some kind of a prehistoric sea creature. We do not believe that's the case. We do not believe that's the case. If it is any kind of an aminal, it is an aminal that is of recent, you know, birth and creation. Maybe one we don't know of. There could be some kind of a Thames creature that lives in fresh water at about 20 feet that has evolved over the last 2 billion years, and we, you know, don't know anything about it.
No, how likely is that? No, 2 billion years, man, you're going to find it.
Well, apparently somebody hasn't, you know.
Well, how about this? How about the idea that it is not a sea creature, like it was some kind of a piece of machinery?
Well, I ruled that out as soon as I looked at the videotape. Now, we can look at it again. Re-rack that, will you, Smiley? I got Smiley Atwater here. He's going to re-rack it. All right, I'm looking at it now, and I go. Okay. I don't know. It could be maybe underwater submarine, something like that.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe there's some kind of a commercial operation going there with, you know, an underwater sub.
I don't know what that is. I mean, a commercial operator, what are they doing? They're giving rides on a submarine? Or they need the submarine so they can look and see what's underneath the... That's pretty stupid. But,
well, look, you know, it's no more stupid than thinking that there's an actual sea creature down there.
I didn't say sea creature. I said a river creature, which is very different because it lives in fresh water.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So, get a load of this guy. Hey, I'm talking to a guy over here.
All right, Jay, thank you. So, has anybody come forward with any explanation?
Has anyone come forward to who?
To anyone. Anybody in the news media in England?
As far as I know, no.
Well, there had been at least one speculation. Somebody said there's a movie.
Is it what?
They said that they were shooting a movie or something, and that was a sea creature from the movie.
Well, that's possible. No, no, no. It's not, they would have to alert the authorities.
Yeah, they would have to alert the authorities. And the authorities in that area would not only be the law and police, but also the beefeat. You know,
they're not going to alert the beefeat, believe me. They're not going to call up some volunteer cop organization.
Well, here we go again with a disrespect, Mr. Henry. And I thought you were a much bigger man than that.
No, no, I'm not trying to be insulting, but the fact is that they're not going to call up those guys. They're going to call the London Metropolitan Police, and they're going to let the emergency service, they're going to let people know that should know.
Well, all right. If you're saying to me that they are shooting a movie and they allowed to have like a plastic a creature of some kind, and I don't know what we're talking about, but it's a plastic creature of some kind, and they let it just float through the water, and they didn't say, well, I mean, you're saying that they did.
Did what?
They alerted authority.
Yeah, they alerted the authorities. They just didn't alert your guys, the beefeat.
Boy, you spit that out with such hatred, you know.
I do.
I go, beefeat. You really hate our guts, don't you, Mr. Henry?
No, I do not, Jay. I'm just saying I'm trying to get to the bottom of what it was that was in the river over there in England. Thank you very much, Jay.
Well, all right, so I think I narrowed it down for you.
No, no, you didn't. You said you thought it was either a monster of prehistoric origin or a current monster, maybe a submarine, but what sense does that make? And then that was it. That's all you gave me.
All right, well, who told you it was a movie?
What, Jay? Or no, Bud.
Yeah, I did.
You just said Jay, so I'll take that.
No, I did. I'm the one who did it.
No, he just said Jay, so I'm going to take...
I'm going to hang up on you.
No, you're not. Jay, thanks very much for being on the show. Jay Santos, folks, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I'm taking credit for...
See, that's what he's doing.
Bud, would you just never mind? Everyone knows that it was your idea, all right? You feel better? Well,
okay. But yes, you were the guy that came up with the idea that it was probably a movie, although we don't even know if that's the case.
Well, what are we going to find out? I saw the film footage of that thing, and no, I don't believe in sea creatures, but at some point, somebody better come up with an answer as to what that thing was, or I'm going to start to think that maybe it was something that came up from the...
Oh, come on, John, you don't believe that?
How do I know?
No, that's... they'll... all right, thank you.
Famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Mr. Hendry, Phil Hendry, for CMPRE Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!